Oh, thank you. Hey, I feel like I'm at church because nobody's up front. And yeah, I really appreciate being here. And I don't know if anybody even hintly remembers me 3 years ago. You'd probably be like, I don't remember you. So I don't know if Pastor Bob brought me back because he really liked me or if he was trying to give me a second chance. But just kind of give you a little bit about myself. It'll be 29 years that Karen and I have been married in October. So we have two daughters, Rachel and Megan, and they each have a grandson. Our oldest daughter's due for another. They each have a grandson. They each have two boys, which are our grandsons, and Rachel is expecting it in June. And I love working with the youth. I'm 55 years old, and there was a youth pastor candidating over in Warren, and he goes, "Oh, I know that Pastor Blair, he's over in Corey. He should get out of youth ministry. He's too old." And I'm thinking, man, I love it. I don't know, maybe I'll die 70 with, "Come on, kids, let's go out and play football. Come on." You know, I don't know what it'll be like, but I love outdoors. I grew up as a runner, but I just love doing different sports. I may not be fantastic at it, but I'll give the kids a run for their money. I mean, I'll make sure they suffer a little before I go down, but it's something I very much enjoy. We have game dinners at our church, and I don't want you to think at all that I'm some great hunter. I love to hunt, but I'm not a great hunter. I'm not here to teach you something about hunting. I don't want you to expect that you're going to go home and say, "Wow, this guy just filled me with great wisdom about hunting." That's not me. I have a twin brother. He could do that to you. He is a fantastic hunter. He raises animals. He's raised deer. He understands the ins and outs of hunting. And so I got to hand it to him for that. My dad, when he died, May 5th, 2005, he called us kids in one at a time to just give his last words to us. And when he brought Blaine in, it was, "God has gifted you with your hands and with hunting." And I'm like, that's cool. I like that. Because we all have a gift. I want you to understand something in here. You guys and gals are very special. I don't care how old you are. I don't care who has ever talked to you and whatever they've said to you to put you down. You have to isolate yourself from anything negative that people have said to you and realize this truth. You're pretty special. You're pretty special. God has created you, and He's created you for a purpose, to bring glory to His name. You're special. Now, I'm just curious, like, hunter-wise, how many here, like, consider themselves a shotgun hunter, whether it be small game or turkey hunting? You know, that's something like, yeah, hey, I like doing that. Okay, how about rifle hunting? I like to shoot deer or, so. Okay, yeah, I'm more of a deer hunter than anything else. How about trapping? Any trappers in here? Okay, one, two, maybe three, maybe the person that's not going to raise their hand. How about hunting with dogs illegally? Anybody? One? All right. And my daughter just got married here a couple of years ago. And, well, they're both married. Yes, they're both married. But I did both their weddings because I'm a pastor. I'm allowed to do that. But I was with Megan when she shot her first deer. So I'm like sharing the memories, you know, when they're up there with her and her future husband. I'm going, yes, there's great memories, Megan and I. When she shot her first deer, we were together, and that was really special to me. I got to hold the spotlight, and people were like, "Whoa, wait, is he telling the truth?" Yeah, just kidding. Any other, like, hunting with dogs, like for boar or bear, anybody ever done that before? Okay, Dwayne, what's that? Oh, there you go. How many fishermen are in here? I did have a clip I was going to bring on fishing, just a kind of comical one, but then I thought, well, then you couldn't preach as long, so we got rid of that real quick. No, but I'm not very good at it, but, man, I used to fish when I was a kid and just thought it was awesome, but now I'm just more of a deer hunter. This is my pastor up here. I'm the youth pastor. He's the senior pastor. And he went boar hunting. Now, I've heard of boar hunters. You know, they're out there. My oldest brother, he went boar hunting a couple times. But he goes not to shoot them, but to knife them to death. Now, anybody ever heard of that? Yeah, that's what they do. And so this is a trip that they did in Texas. And so get the dog truck and you can, oh, I have the clicker, don't I? I'm never used to a clicker. And then Jim's like, hey, we have a clicker here. So here he is. He took a picture of this one dog just as it got scent of a boar. So just as he took it, then the dog took off and took off running. And now they have these GPS finders so they can locate where the dog is. They could hear the dog barking and all that stuff. So, what's that? Okay. Yeah, exactly. Now, I think I can hear him over here. Okay. Whoops. Wait, over here. All right. So they take off there, and it was a successful hunt. And it's like when they get up to the boar and the dogs have like got them on the ears or like jerking his head around and stuff. And, I mean, they're just all over the dog. And they grab the hind legs, and if it's real big, then they just kind of like crisscross, boom, flip the boar over, and then they get onto its shoulder and neck, its neck and shoulder, and stab the little critter to death. Now, we won't show that, but... that's what happens. You can get on YouTube and see the whole thing if you want to. Here's something. Now, Andrew McClure, anybody have heard of, I said his last name wrong, Andrew Euclid. Anybody ever hear him? He catches animals barehanded. I'm just going to show you a little clip about him. It just takes a compilation of a bunch of animals that he's caught barehanded. But he does it not just like, sometimes he sneaks up on them. Sometimes, like you'll see the ending there, where he has a dead kangaroo, he's in Brazil or someplace, has a dead kangaroo over him with grass and just waits for an eagle or a bird to come in and then grabs the bird. Or he sits at a water hole waiting for a deer to come by. You know, I mean, this guy is amazing. Yeah, just see some of it. Do not try this at home. That tree and came out with it. We'll be right back. I'm like, I mean, you can find, I mean, see how he did each individual one. So he'll have like a video camera set up. Like when he went and got that fox, I mean, he crawled back into this tree like 10 feet and come dragging out with the fox who's got a hold of his arm. I'm thinking, dude, just shoot it, you know, and then drag it out, you know, don't go in. I don't know if I would do that, but anyway. So there's, when I think about the animal kingdom, I really like I like animals. My brother, I say, you know, raise different animals, and but I like the animal kingdom. To me, there's just a lot of fascinating things that happen in the world of animals and how they survive and how they defend themselves and get food and work as a team and that sort of thing. It's an attractive thing to me. You know, we see these. We're, as hunters, we hunt animals, but sometimes an animal can turn to us, you know, like now we become their prey or their game. And there's a bear here, a picture, and the bear is, there's a gentleman by the name of Chase, he's 26 years old, who was hunting in Montana, age 26, I said, and he's hunting with his brother. Now, they're not together. I mean, they're together, but they're not actually like they could hear each other and that sort of thing. And Chase is walking up a creek and comes up on a bear sleeping. So he's 3 feet away from this bear who awakens. And when it awakens, you know, the bear's not like, oh, there's somebody here to visit me. I mean, it's like it's there to attack. So the next picture is Chase, a picture of him. Oh, why am I? And the bear came at him and just like bit his head and his face, and then like came jerked back and just made a huge roaring sound, and then came and grabbed his leg and just shook him and literally like threw him. I don't know how far he threw him, but threw him a distance. And then when he came back the third time, he remembered his grandmother giving him an article. It's not like he was like, hey, I remember. You know, stuff happens really quick. That large animals have a bad gag reflex. You understand this? Okay. What's that? Yeah. All right. So he knew that, hey, man, if you stick your arm down their throat, they're going to gag. And so that's what he did. So when the bear came to him the third time, not that, I mean, he stuck his right arm down, and sure enough, the bear gagged, and he took off running. And so he was able to get out of there safely, had 200 stitches in his head, face, and survived. I could see me sticking my arm down there, and he'd just chop it off, you know? It's like, and I'd come back with just this, like, let me try the other arm or something, but anyway. So there's situations where, wow, we have to learn to defend ourselves sometimes. Even in the wild kingdom, the animal kingdom, there's something that has, you just never know what's going to happen. We have to be ready to defend ourselves. And it's the next picture. Wow, I still think I'm at church because we don't have this at church. It's like I'm used to going next, you know. So that's a pet bear. But I just thought you'd kind of like maybe visualize a bear over top and you could like maybe shove yours. Hand down in there. Open your mouth. Okay. All right. Defend. There are unique ways we can defend ourselves, but also in the animal kingdom, some animals have unique ways to defend themselves. I was just like doing studies on different animals and research and that sort of thing, but one that really caught my attention was the honey badger in Africa. They just have raw courage. They're like that little kid. I mean, you know the bully in school? This would be the little kid that was the bully in school. And you're like, well, keepers, those kids we beat up. Or I was the little kid that got beat up, but I wasn't like the bully. I was the one that was bullied. But, you know, there's that one little kid that's like, man, he's just got all the energy and the little spikeness in him, and he's not going to put up with anything, and he's going to be all over you, and he doesn't care. That's like, to me, the honey badger. And he's got some uniqueness about him. He's got sharp teeth. And they have encounters with lions and tigers and bears or whatever. But, you know, Africa, there's going to be lions, and they'll grab them right by the nose. And lions don't really like them. And they're hard to kill. They have a tough skin. And they have a loose skin. So, like, if you get a hold of them, they can turn their body, you know, like inside their skin to maneuver for, you know, to getting loose and getting away. But their skin is also tough. Like if you had a machete and went like and hacked it a couple of times, you couldn't penetrate the skin. That's how tough it is. They're just a hard animal to do something against. Here's a picture of them amongst lions. And they've often try in sometimes in groups to steal prey or kill from lions and are successful at times. Just because they're such a nuisance and a pain, and it's hard to destroy them. There's even record of them killing a Cape buffalo. Make sense? No, doesn't make sense. How does an animal that weighs 7 or 8 pounds kill a fearsome buffalo weighing 450 pounds or more with an inch thick skin and overlapping ribs for armor? Ladies, close your eyes. They go for the groin. Then the animal bleeds to death. I said something else that I like in the animal kingdom, and that's teamwork. How animals survive because they work as a team. And to me, there's this one here. I have one with apes that is really awesome also, which we won't have time to show, but orcas is a, well, maybe some of you have even seen this, but we'll show this one and just see the teamwork, the mind, their brains are like, they have large brains and they seem to know how to use them as well, but you'll see what I mean when you watch the clip.
Untamed and uncut. Winter in the Antarctic Peninsula. Tom and Sharon Merritt are aboard a tour ship, and the sights are breathtaking. Suddenly, over the loudspeaker, the announcement they'd hoped for.
Orca spotted.
The Merritts and the rest of the passengers race to the ship's bridge level. What they witness is an event so rare, it's been documented by scientists only 13 times. And never photographed.
These orcas are going to attack this seal.
A family of orcas has set its sights on a crab-eater seal resting on an ice floe. Watch as the orcas raise their massive 8-ton bodies vertically to peek over the ice floe. Whale biologist Dr. Ingrid Visser says the movement is called spy hopping.
The ice floe was about 25 feet square. But it kept getting smaller, I think, through the action of the orca.
And it appears they don't like the location of the floe either. The orcas attempt to isolate it from nearby floes.
They're twisting the ice.
7/8 of the ice floe is actually below the surface. But these behemoth creatures are able to use their strength to strategically position the floe.
They spin the ice around and they move other pieces of ice away so that they can line it up perfectly to make the biggest wave possible.
This highly sophisticated hunting technique is used mostly to help teach young calves how to hunt. Using her blowhole, the matriarch of the pod sends out vocal signals to summon other adult orcas to line up perfectly and then charge the ice, swimming at speeds up to 35 miles an hour. The wave created hurls the doomed seal to the other end, where a hungry orca anticipates a fresh meal. With the second largest brain in the animal kingdom, the orcas are very intelligent. They craft a plan. With a series of clicks and whistles to communicate, the matriarch brings in more members of the pod. Watch carefully as these orcas execute with perfect synchronization.
All right, here they go.
With five orca, one orca is sitting stationary and it blows this big burst of bubbles, which we think was actually the cue to tell the other orca to come in.
You can actually see how the wave created by the crafty orca will simply slide the seal off the floe.
It's all over.
No, not right.
Yeah, it's all over.
Isn't that fascinating? I mean, how many have anybody ever seen that before? Yeah, I think that's just a fascinating way of maneuvering and thinking through. I don't know. They didn't show that part. Yeah. Yeah, the draws. I told you I liked the animal kingdom and the thoughts. In fact, when I was little, when they come out with this, when I was about 8 years old, and maybe I shouldn't even tell you how old I was because I was pretty much a baby about the whole thing. But they came out with this new movie. It was about animal life, and I thought, wow, this would be really awesome to go to. And they were telling when it was going to be on and stuff. And I told my parents I wanted to go to this movie, and they thought, well, we don't know if we could do it. You know, we probably wouldn't be able to handle to be able to go and all that stuff. And I remember the day that it was on, I was still thinking that we're going to go see this movie about animal life and wildlife and everything. And we didn't go. And I remember crawling underneath my bed, and I was just crying and sticking my hands on the floor like this. And my parents came up and apologized to me. But I was just a big baby about it. But I love, as I say, the animal kingdom. But I want to talk to you, too, about something else, and it's called God's kingdom. To me, that's the greatest kingdom of all. Because here's why. Because I believe that there is a God that created us because he loves us and wants a relationship with us. I know that we have, and I can share my own little stories of misfortunes, of being bullied, of being insecure, thinking that I was not important, that my life was not important, I didn't have many friends. I could go through everything that probably most of you could go through of misfortunes, of losing loved ones, someone in a fire or whatever. We could all tell those stories, and in times we come to this point where we draw this conclusion that there is no God. But I want to say differently, there is a God, and he loves us very much. But I don't want to just talk to you about the kingdom of God. I want to share with you how you can be a part of this kingdom. Because there's a kingdom of God right now on this earth that is full of followers of Christ. But there's going to be another day that's going to come when Jesus comes to this earth and we're going to get to be involved in another kingdom. It's called the kingdom of heaven, where we spend eternity. And that's my desire, is that, well, Jesus wants all to be saved. Doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to knowledge of him, to turn from sin. And so I want to share that, but also I want to share about how you can develop and maintain this growing relationship and loving relationship with Christ. I have these letters up here, G-O-S-P-E-L, gospel. I tell you, I work with the youth group, and I was taught how to present the gospel using the gospel letters as an acronym. And we go once a year to a big event in Ohio, Dare to Share. And they spend the weekend, and it's not like, hey, we're going to go to Disney World today. It's all about how to share your faith so other people can come to know Christ. And so I'm going to do, not the way we do it with the youth, like the youth will, whenever we do this in front of an audience, whether it be at a church or at a youth event, we went to a concert one time, they had us come and had the kids share, we'll have six kids stand up and hold a letter, and they'll share the gospel. And the first kid will go, G stands for God loves us and created us to be with him. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. For God so loved the world. And then they'll share a testimony about God's love. And like, just to give an example, like for me, I know God loves me, but I'll tell you what, I didn't feel loved in high school. When I hit ninth grade, I was insecure. I was picked on, all this stuff. It wasn't until I hit 11th grade that I started to excel in sports and stuff, that I started to feel better about myself, but it was still a struggle through high school and even the beginning of college. But God has brought me such a long way. Because I was insecure. I was a practical joker. I was quiet. I isolated myself a lot unless I was doing a practical joke or something. But God has really blossomed me and helped me to become like a spokesperson for Him. So, gee, God loves us and created us to be with Him. He wants a love relationship with us. And I like to use my hands. I like to use this. God created us to be with Him. He loves us that much. He wants a relationship with us that's close and tight. But oh, our sin separated us from God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Our sins has separated us, has hurt this love relationship with God. Not that He doesn't love us anymore. He loves us still the same. But God is perfect. He is without sin. He is holy and righteous. He can have no sin in His presence. You can strive to get back into relationship with God, but the sin is keeping us from there. And then there's this, the letter S. Sins cannot be removed by our good deeds. You see, we have this myth, this misconception in this world that says, I'm just going to be good enough and I'll go to heaven. I'm just going to be good enough. The Bible says it's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. Not by works. It's not by anything that you can do. It's not by works that you can do that you can boast and say, listen, I'm so good, God's going to take me in. It's not by works. We're all sinners. We're all separated by God. We all have a sin problem that has to be taken care of. But remember, God still loves us, despite the fact that we're sinners. And He's striving to bring us back into relationship with Him. He's striving to give this sin problem to get it taken care of. And P, paid for our sins, Jesus died and rose again. See, when God saw that we had this sin problem and we weren't in a relationship with Him, He said, listen, sins have to be punished. But because I love you so much, I'm going to send you my Son, Jesus. And He's going to take the penalty on Himself. He's going to take your penalty upon Himself. He's going to be the one that's going to be beaten and punched and spat upon and whipped with sharp objects at the end of the whip. He's the one that's going to go to the cross for you. He's going to take your penalty upon Himself. And He's going to shed His blood because there needs to be a shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. And He'll do it. And He'll die. And He'll rise from the dead. And when He takes the resurrection from the dead and becomes alive, He defeated death. The death promise that was coming to you, hell, it's gone. E, everyone who trusts in Jesus alone receives eternal life. He's done the work. Jesus has done the work. He went to the cross. He took the penalty. And He died in our place. He shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Now it's up to us. Now we get to choose. Do we want to receive Jesus into our lives for forgiveness of sins? It's our choice. You don't have to. But it's a choice. And His desire is that you will choose. Because remember, the sin problem, our sin separates us from God. Because of sin, there's a penalty. It's called death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. And the spiritual death is separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. It's spending eternity in a lake of fire called hell. And everyone who trusts in Jesus alone receives eternal life. Nobody else has died for our sins. Nobody else has taken the punishment for us. Nobody else was the perfect sacrifice like Jesus. Nobody else died and then rose again from the dead. Jesus. Jesus Himself says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. an L. Life with Christ is a changed life. How do I know if it's real? There's a change. How do I know that you really are taking this serious, this relationship with Christ? How do I know that you're serious about this? There's a change. It's like the blind man who the Pharisees and teachers of the law came and says, "This Jesus who healed you, he's a bad man. He's a sinner. He's evil." Blind guy says, "Well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. He changed my life." You can call him whatever you want, but I know this, he changed my life. You have a relationship with Jesus? And has He changed your life? When people look at you, do you fit in with the mold of this world? Or do you stand out because you're different? Not obnoxious different, but lovingly different. Because you did not conform to the pattern of this world, but you were transformed by the renewing of your mind. Through relationship with Christ. I tell you, I said I want to talk about the kingdom of God, and this is it. This is a nutshell of a relationship with Christ, the kingdom of God, coming into the kingdom through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But once you receive, how do you maintain and continue to grow in your faith? Well, to me, the number one thing, the most important decision you could ever make is having a relationship with Christ. But number two is to have a growing relationship with Christ. It's just ongoing. And I think of two things when I think about a growing relationship. Number one is you're in the Word of God. And number two, you're fellowshipping with other Christians, whether it be in church or in Christian circle of friends. Not that you isolate yourself from non-believers, but for your growth, you're with Christian people. For evangelism, then you're around the non-Christians for evangelism purposes. Jesus, the Word of God was important to Jesus. He studied it, he learned it, he even memorized it, and it was important because when the time came, when Satan was allowed to tempt him, he came to Jesus and three times tried to destroy him through temptation. Destroy his relationship with his Father through temptation. That happens to us. Satan comes to us to destroy our relationship with God through temptations. And Jesus, to fight the temptations, quoted the Scriptures. I used to work at a lumber yard, and I recommitted my life to Christ. I accepted Jesus when I was 8, but it was while I was at the lumber yard that I recommitted my life to Christ. And I remember going back and just being really a different person, but it was hard. I'm not saying it was easy, but it was hard. But once I said, I'm going to do this, it became easier. Because now they knew who I was. I was a different person. But just give an example here about how important the Word of God is. I remember going to the big pole building where they were where we stacked lumber, and went in. As I went in, I saw a centerfold picture on the wall. Somebody had hung up. I thought, jeepers. I thought, well, I'm just not going to look at it. So we're stacking lumber. And one of the bosses come in, and he's way off at the distance. And some other guy comes in with his son. It's about, how old are you?
Seven.
All right. So maybe he's 6 years old, and he was just standing there. And the two of them were talking. The kid was just standing there. And as I was stacking, I saw him looking at the picture. And I looked back over and again, saw him looking at the picture. So crawled up on the barrel, crawled up on the cabinet, ripped the picture down, jumped down, ripped it up, threw it in the garbage bucket. And nobody said anything. But news traveled very quickly. Because at lunchtime when I was eating, one of the guys came up to me and said, "Hey, would you tear that picture down for?" I go, "What picture? You know what picture? I put that picture. There was nothing wrong with that picture." I said, "Wait a second. You know, at first when I saw the picture, I thought, okay, all right, we'll let it go. I just won't look at it." But then I saw a little kid looking at it. And then I thought of this scripture verse that says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a large millstone tied around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." I said, "I did not want that coming on me." He goes, "Well, maybe I don't even believe in God." I said, "Your unbelief does not erase his existence. You better come to terms with what you do or do not believe in and then act upon it. God doesn't mess around. He loves us, but he doesn't mess around." Knowing God's word is very important. There was when somebody gives their lives to Christ, I'm telling you, something's going to happen. I was at a youth event in, anybody ever been to the Franklin Oil City Castle? Anybody? Isn't that an awesome place? I want to go there and just play Nerf gun wars. Can't play paint gun in there, but there's so many rooms. I mean, it would just be an awesome place. But there's been different youth events there. But anyway, so I'm speaking it there, and there's this girl that's there who shares her testimony. She's already accepted Christ, but the guy who influenced her life was also there. That was pretty neat. Because this kid, this guy, when I say guy, he's probably 19 years old. He was probably 18 at the time of the event. He became a Christian. Didn't have a father figure. Was into drugs, alcohol, da 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 da, and had an encounter with Christ. Surrendered his life completely to the Lord. In fact, he carried his Bible around with him. Go figure. You know, who carries their Bible around with them? And this guy must have been really committed, huh? No, he wasn't ashamed at all. It's like he carries the Bible. In fact, and then after he accepted Christ, they had this youth event, and this girl was invited to go to this youth event. Well, she didn't have a father figure. She was sexually abused. She had several sexual partners, or had sexual partners. She was into drugs and alcohol as well. And at this event, she's just kind of like leaning against the wall, talking to her friends. And that guy came over and with his Bible, and they're talking and stuff. She goes, "What do you got in your hand?" He goes, "It's my Bible." She goes, "I don't believe in it. That's stupid." He goes, "Have you ever read it?" She said, "No." He goes, "Well, here, take my Bible, read it. And when you're done, let me know what you think." So she took it. She thought, "Okay, I'll read it." You know what she did? She read it in 30 days. She read it in 30 days. How many Christians do you know that read the Bible, period? Let alone 30 days. Are you with me? She came back. He said, "What do you think?" She said, "I want to give my life to Christ." And the other thing I want to say is how important it is to be in the church. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more. Let us encourage each other and all the more as we see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return. God wants us in fellowship. We need to be in the church. We need to surround ourselves with Christian people. We can't be lone rangers. I was putting a deer stand up with my son-in-law, and we got all done, and we could see this in this dark shadow, this deer, I mean, from a distance. And he thought, "Oh, they must have a target set up over there or something, because I see a deer shape." And I'm looking at it, and I go, "Man, but it looks like a deer shape, but it wouldn't be a target shape like that." So as we got closer, we see this deer was stuck in this big fence that went around, semi around the property that we were on. And it was trying to reach in and grab a tree branch or whatever with green leaves, and it's a spike, so when it stuck its head in, that was no problem. But when it came to bring it out, it didn't bend its neck back and then come out. It just kept it plump, and now it was caught. And it probably was dead no more than 24 hours. And I was thinking, that to me is Christianity Lone Ranger. I'm going to just live my Christian life by myself. I'm not going to get involved in the church. I'm just going to be a Christian by myself. Because we don't need church to get saved. Nope, sure don't. But if you are saved, we need you. We need you. I need you. The body needs you. We need to encourage each other all the more as we see the day of Christ's return. We need to encourage each other. I need you. I need your gifts. I need your abilities. I need your encouragement. I wonder how many people, if I quit going to church, I wonder how many people go to church thinking, well, it'll be nice to see Blair today because I know Blair is going to say something to me to encourage me, and I don't show up. And that person, I just wonder how many people then just go, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. Because they're not encouraged. Like we're supposed to do. Plus, we need each other to stay focused. Hey, what'd you do last night? Okay, all right. I have a youth leader. It's no longer a youth leader because he went into a different profession, but he was caught into pornography, and so he asked me to be his accountability partner. Accountability partner. Isn't that awesome? So I got his computer stuff hooked up on this X3 watch porn site that if I'm your accountability partner and you get on the computer, boom, and you're on a questionable site, then that site will be sent to me. And so-and-so was on this site, and I'm like, oh, okay. So one day he was on a site, and I call the pastor, and I go, I don't know what's – sometimes, you know, the sites are just stupid. It's like a travel agent's place, you know. So I go, Pastor, I'm going to click on this, make sure, boom, I clicked on it. I'm like, escape. And so I – well, I tried calling him, tried texting him, didn't respond. I went to the school to for whatever reason, and the guy pulled up in front of me. Oh, no, I pulled up behind him and got out of the vehicle. He was waiting for his daughter to come out, and he saw me. He was like, yep. I come over there, and I go, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm okay. He goes, just the fact that you're over here shows me that God still cares, because I messed up. I go, listen, we all mess up. So, you know what you did wrong. God loves you. You're forgiven. You just move on. And I haven't seen him anything since. We need each other. You know, it's funny because just down from that fence was another deer. I mean, 30 feet down, like we were like looking at this deer. Oh, my gosh. And then 30 feet long. It could never happen to me. It could never happen to me. I could never slip up. That deer, he messed up over there, but I'll never mess up. Listen, you get yourself away from the church, you set yourself up to fail. You get yourself away from Christian fellowship, you set yourself up there. You get yourself away from the Word of God, you set yourself up to fail. The Scripture says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. The people you hang out with are the people you're going to become like. It's going to happen. I see it over and over again. And as soon as somebody messes up, you know what's the first thing they get rid of? The Bible and the church. For whatever reason. Maybe guilt or whatever. But we need it. We need it. We need each other. God loves us. I just want to give you a chance here. I mean, there's a good chance that most of you in here have already given your life to Christ. And if that's the case, that's awesome. But if there was even just one person here that thought, well, I'll have to be honest with you, you know, when you spelled out this gospel thing here, I've never given my life to Christ. Then I want to give you a chance to do that. But for those of you that have, I want to give those who are in here who have given their life to Christ to evaluate themselves and say, but I want to be honest with you, I'm not focused. I have not been focused on my relationship, maintaining and growing relationship with Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision tonight. You want to accept Christ into your life. You want to get refocused in a redeveloping relationship with Christ. Look, maybe nobody will respond, and that's okay. In fact, that might be good. That might mean we've got some solid men, and there's a couple ladies in here as well, but solid men in here, and that's what this world needs, is some solid men, role models, mentors to the kids in this world. So I'm just going to count to three. I'm going to tell you in advance, when, as soon as I hit number three, if you want to come up here to give your life to Christ or recommit your life to Christ, then you do that. We won't play any music. You can come up and sit at the pew. If you want to kneel, you can do that as well. But it's your choice, however God speaks into your heart. So here we go. On three, one, two, three. Thank you. And we're going to pray with each person as an encouragement, because we need that encouragement. Well, let me say this. Thank you, guys. Thank you for coming here tonight. Thank you for those who was in my area and took the time to talk to me. Dwayne, this guy back here, I just saw him tonight for the first time in many, many, many years. He married my neighbor years ago. There you go. Yeah. You guys, just talking to you, I see eyes focus, see smiles every once in a while, nods of heads, that sort of thing. So that means you're attentive, and I appreciate that. But what I'd appreciate more is that this message of Christ, you take it out of this building to wherever you live, to your house, to your wife, to your kids, to your neighbors, to your workplace, and even to your church. I'm going to pray. You guys can be dismissed and or whatever you want to do after that, okay? Oh, I didn't even, I wrote a devotional book, and some of you may have even purchased one already, whatever, but if you want a devotional book, and here's the focus of it, it's based on James 2:10. It's about putting your faith into practice. So there's 40 challenges there. So every day you have a challenge to put your faith into practice. So the challenge is going to be either at home or at work or at the church or to a stranger or whatever. There's just a different challenge. Now, the first day is, you might read the first day. The first day is more focused on, actually the first 3 days is more focused on you getting right with the Lord before you start reaching out to other people. So the challenge is more self. And then after that, boom, the challenge is putting your faith into practice, and it gives you that challenge. So they're $15, but I'm selling them for $10. So if you want to buy a devotional book, they're $10. And I even forgot to put them out. But we'll just set them out there if you want. They're in a box. If you want to go out there and open it up, I'll just stay down here for now. But if somebody wants to go out there and set them out, you can look at it. It don't matter. So, okay. You want to pray, Pastor Bob?
Sure.
Is that okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.